So as I mentioned, in this season of Epiphany, which is from Christmas until Lent, we have been reading from 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1 through 3. It's a part of the lectionary readings. So the lectionary is kind of this Bible reading plan for Sunday morning worship that Presbyterians use, Methodists, Catholics. It's a pretty widely used reading plan. And so occasionally I will, well, I'd say half and half. I use our lectionary texts to know what to preach from because sometimes it's hard to know. That's allow God to lead me in that way. Sometimes I feel like there's a specific series we should go through, so sometimes we do that. But for this season, we've been reading from Paul and his letter to the Corinthians and kind of emphasizing ways in which Jesus is revealed. Again, this season of Epiphany is a time for us to reflect on how Jesus revealed God, how he revealed everlasting life to the whole world. He was God among us, the ultimate epiphany moment for all of human history. And so we've talked about how the church reveals Jesus to the world, and when we are unified and knit together, that the sweetness of our unity reveals Christ to the world. Last week we talked about how when the church imitates Jesus and follows his humility and his self-giving, when we follow Jesus rather than grasping for social status and power, there Jesus is revealed, the ways of God are revealed. And this week, we're going to be talking about how Jesus is revealed through the simple story. The simple story that Paul delivered to the Corinthians in fear and trembling, a story that sounded like foolishness, and yet the Spirit worked in people's hearts and prompted them to respond, and people came to faith. Not through the wisdom and the great philosophy of the world, but through something that sounds like utter foolishness. That God would become human, and God would die, and he would raise to life and then offer that life to all of us. Gare Jones is a British pastor who received a call from God to plant a church in Los Angeles, of all places. And he's a brilliant speaker and communicator, and he tells a story of when he was 19 years old, he was in law school and spent his summers volunteering at a church in Scotland and helping with their evangelism. And so they had this plan, the church did, that they were going to go down to go to this shopping district in Glasgow, and there were no roads. It was just a big walkable area, an outdoor walkable area that lots of people would go out to eat and go shopping. Really a place, if you wanted to draw a crowd, this was the place to go. And so they told Gare, they said, all right, we're going to draw a big crowd. Don't worry about how we're going to do it. We're going to draw the crowd, and then you're going to preach for 5 to 10 minutes. And everyone's going to get saved. And so they're like, don't worry about the crowd. We'll take care of it. So they brought a worship band. They brought music. They started playing loudly and worshiping. And then they found no one was coming. All these people were standing around shopping and eating. No one was coming to listen. So Gare's kind of thinking in the back of his head, whew, maybe I don't have to get up and preach in front of all these strangers. But a man named Barry was on the team, and Barry said, Gare, don't worry, I got this. I'll draw the crowd for you. And so before anyone could stop him, Barry goes out to the center of the square. He gets a garbage can, ties the plastic bag in the garbage can, goes out in the middle of the crowd and starts throwing this garbage bag up in the air, throwing it as high as he can, and then catch it. And he'd throw it as high as he could, and he would catch it. And Gare's watching him and thinking, Barry, what are you doing? And the team's with them, the worship band's playing, and they're thinking to themselves, Barry, what are you doing? But lo and behold, the crowds didn't gather for the music. So the crowds start to gather to watch this man throwing trash in the air. And it's like, what is going on here? And as more and more people gather around, Barry turns to Gare and he yells, do it now, Gare, do it now! And so Gare jumps into this crowd and preaches the gospel. Only it didn't quite work. And as quickly as the crowd had gathered, the crowd left. And it seemed to be a fruitless effort. Well, for all of the talk in our evangelical tradition about sharing our faith with others, I think sharing Jesus can be rather intimidating. What do I say? Where do I begin? How do I say it? Maybe you've been on a missions trip or you've been on a team that had this pressure to gather a crowd and then proclaim the good news. And if you're like Gare or others, you might be thinking, I hope I don't have to experience that ever again. This time and place that we live in is a complicated time for sharing Jesus. Evangelism is complicated because the religious environment in our culture has changed. The same man who told that story, Gare, talks about this shift from the 1950s until now, and the way in which the way in which evangelism can be done has changed because our culture has changed. So in the 1950s, most all Americans had grown up in Sunday school. Maybe they'd left church and they were out sowing their wild oats. But by and large, they believed in Jesus. They believed in the message. And so what was needed in that time was a call back to Jesus. A reminder of Jesus and an invitation to come back. And so brilliant people like Billy Graham would fill stadiums and they would urge people to come back to Jesus, and it was effective. People who grew up in the church that were outside of the church would hear Billy Graham, they would hear him skillfully call them to repentance, and they would come back. In the 70s and the 80s, the climate again began to shift. You have the television that becomes widely spread. The television's in every home, and with it, exposure to more ideas around the world. You have MTV coming on and all of these bands, and you have bands like the Beatles who are going to India and finding spiritual gurus. And so everyone's being exposed to different religions. And so the question is kind of, how do we know which religion is the right one? And so it was a time in which you could present evidence and data for the scriptures. And you could say Jesus was a historical person. And you can rely on the scriptures. You can rely on the God that's told in the scriptures. And by and large, that was convincing. A logical argument was convincing that Christianity is the way instead of all these other religions. And so for the 70s, the 80s, maybe into the 90s, that was effective evangelism, presenting good arguments. And again, as we reach 2020, a major shift has happened in our culture. A major shift that's made it difficult to preach the gospel. Even in the 70s and 80s, people would sow their wild oats, but they would largely come back to the church when the data was presented to them. Today, people haven't grown up in Sunday school like they did in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. There's not that foundation. There's not that general belief that's already there that they just need to be convinced of. Largely, Christians are seen as judgmental. Our culture doesn't want to be told what is true. We want to experience what is true. So you can give the most rational, reasonable arguments in the world, but if we're not experiencing it as truth, then it's not going to be compelling. Many in our culture have baggage that they carry with them with the church, where they've had bad experiences in the church, and that experience is more powerful than anything we could speak or say. Largely, the way of evangelizing in the 50s, even up until the 2000s, it's not effective anymore. We need new ways of evangelizing. We need to adapt to our culture. And that makes evangelism challenging. I don't know about you all, but when I think about what the people that I know that have left church or the people that I know who have not gone to church at all, what they're dealing with, the things they're wrestling with, it just complicates everything. It makes me feel like I have to have the perfect argument, I have to have the perfect reason, the perfect logic, I have to present the perfect worldview, or else no one's going to want to be a part of this walk with Jesus. It's really enormous pressure. The amount of perfection that it seems like it will take to inspire someone to follow Jesus. I remember inviting friends to church when we lived in Michigan, and we lived in a secular town? It was a very post-Christian town. The post-Christian influence was throughout our town. I remember inviting friends to church with us and just sitting there and thinking, I don't see how this is going to affect them in any way. Evangelism is complicated. It's challenging. It can be overwhelming. We can think of sharing Jesus with others and think, where in the world do we begin? And so the Apostle Paul, as you heard from our scripture today, he preached the gospel in an environment that was just as complicated as our world is today. He is sharing the gospel in Corinth, which is, it was a wealthy city, it was a port city where lots of business was done, lots of ideas are coming through the city, lots of religions are being practiced. It was not a friendly environment to someone who says, there is one way to salvation, there's one way to find renewal, there's one way to find redemption, and it's in Jesus Christ. It was not a friendly place for that. And so Paul says, he goes to preach the gospel in Corinth. And Corbin, you can put this up as from our reading today. Paul felt like I often feel when I go to share Jesus with people. He said, I was unsure about how to go about this. I felt totally inadequate. I was scared to death, if you want the truth of it. And so nothing I said could have impressed you or anyone else. And despite the love for philosophy and the new ideas that were in Corinth, Paul did not try to explain the great mysteries of God with really polished reasoning and brilliant philosophy. He says he just used plain words and plain speech that any person could use. Paul said, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches or the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First, Jesus and who he is. Then Jesus and what he did. Jesus crucified. I look at our culture. I look at all the people leaving the church. I look at all the people who haven't even heard the good news or have heard a distortion of the good news. And I think, who would just believe the plain story? I feel in my brokenness, I feel like the story is not enough to convince anyone. But this is exactly what Paul said. And Paul identified something here in his preaching. He recognized that he was not preaching all by himself. He realized that the weight of saving the world was not on his shoulders. He realized that God's Spirit was with him. And it was not the eloquence which Paul spoke with. It was not the brilliant ideas that Paul figured out how to communicate to the city of Corinth. He realized that it was the Holy Spirit who was doing the work. He realized that it was God's mission and God will not fail. And so he was able to go with fear and with trembling. And he was able to just speak plainly, this is who Jesus is. This is what Jesus has done. And not everyone believed, but the Holy Spirit tugged on the hearts of many. And many, many people came to believe. Not because of Paul, because of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes, the message came through anyway. God's Spirit and God's power did it, which made it clear that your life of faith is a response to God's power, not to some fancy mental or emotional footwork by me or anyone else. I went to seminary with a woman named Molly. And Molly was from China. And growing up in China, she did not grow up in the faith. She did not know the story of Jesus growing up in secular China. And so she was studying at a Chinese university, and she was taking a class on world religions. And her professor, who was not a Christian, was teaching, you know, here's this religion. And when he got to Christianity, he told the story. He said, this is what Christians believe. He said, Christians believe that the creator of the universe became human in a man named Jesus Christ. And this man lived a perfect life. But despite his perfection and the love that he showed to people, he was killed on a cross. The people that he made killed him. But he didn't stay dead. He rose to life. And Christians believe that if you believe in him, you too will have his eternal life in you. It was basic. It was simple. That was it. That's in a nutshell. That's what Christians believe. This was spoken by an atheist. And lo and behold, Molly is sitting in the front row of this class, and she's overwhelmed. She begins to weep in this class, hearing this story that she's never heard before. This story that I have heard my entire life that just sounds kind of cliche because I've told it so many times. And yet, to Molly's ears, for the very first time, she broke down. And that day she put her trust in the Lord. Her husband, Richie, put his faith in the Lord. God called them to go to Asbury Seminary in Kentucky, where they're studying and will be going back to China to teach or to preach. Right? And there were no special techniques there. It was just an atheist professor saying, this is what Christians believe. And look what the Holy Spirit was able to do. Look what the Holy Spirit was doing in Molly's heart. She may have been the only person in that class to respond, but she did. And we are so often intimidated by sharing good news with people. It has to be perfect. It has to be the right method. It has to be just in this way to get them to say yes. But lo and behold, God doesn't need our fancy strategies. He doesn't need our great brilliance. He doesn't need our minds to be extra strong. He just needs us to be willing to share. And the Holy Spirit will step in and do the work. The good news of Jesus is so simple that children can comprehend it. Children can hear about Jesus and love him deeply in ways probably that you and I can't imagine. Now, my kids don't understand sin. They don't understand death, really. They don't understand the Old Testament laws. They don't understand Israel's covenant with God. They don't understand justification, sanctification. But they know that God loves them, and he loves them deeply. And they understand that Jesus rose from the dead, and that when Jesus returns, he's going to renew the world, and it will be a place with no more crying. It'll be a place with no more pain. No more suffering. My kids genuinely love Jesus. And it's not because I've given them incredible answers. If anything, Olivia asks me questions that stump me regularly. Stuff like, why did God put the tree in the garden if he didn't want them to eat it? Right? Questions like, why can't I see Jesus? She's going to be a handful as she gets older, but she loves him. And we tell her, Livy, this is a mystery. God is a mystery. We'll never understand all of God, but we can know he loves us. We can know he died for us and that he's going to give us his life. So there are so many techniques and trends. Every couple of years, there's this new way of saying, this is how you got to reach people. And that's, I guess, I just want to first answer that question as we begin to move into closing here. I'd like to leave us with how should we share the message? And then what should we be sharing? How should we share it and what should we be sharing? With all the techniques, with all of the ideas, you know, some people are having crazy success over here. Some people over here are saying, I don't know what to do. To be honest with you, I'm still learning and growing. I had a meeting with our superintendent, and he reminded me of the importance of evangelism. You know, I'm all about the good works, the demonstration of love. But he reminded me it's important that we're sharing. As Paul did, Paul proclaimed this message. It is important that we share. So I don't necessarily have the perfect technique for you. I don't know if there is a perfect technique out there. Each of you are different and have a different personality. Probably very few of us are called to stand up on a box and get a megaphone and preach down by the courthouse in town. I don't know if God's calling any of us to do that anyway. Very few of us have the extroverted personality to just go up and talk to strangers. I do, and I still don't like to go up and just share the gospel with someone I don't even know. So how should we do it? I'll tell you, there's no one answer, but we should share the gospel with lots of love and lots of prayer. People have to know you love them. People have to know you care about them. It is easy to look at a person like a box to check off. It is easy to look at a person like the target of a sales pitch, like you're going to sell them a car. We cannot treat people as numbers. We cannot treat people as just one of those people we evangelized to and did our job and we're off the hook. In this day and age especially, evangelism takes time. Lots and lots of time. And before you say anything, you're going to need a relationship with someone. And you're going to have to spend time with them, and they're going to have to know that you care about them. Maybe there will be an opportunity as we are out in the community and doing different things, maybe with the Kokomo Rescue Mission or at Maple Lawn. As we serve, there will be opportunities maybe to share the good news with strangers. But by and large, it's in relationship, and it's with lots and lots and lots of love. And even when we share with strangers, it has to be out of love. Love is the only thing that's going to make someone in this culture say, I'll follow Jesus. We have to experience God's love, because an argument for God's love is not going to work. We have to have an experience of God's love to put our faith in Jesus. That we always be doing that. Secondly, we need to be praying. We need to be valuing to say, I long for people to come to Jesus. I long for people to share the joy and the hope that I have. And I really want people to find freedom. And so I'm going to pray, Lord, open my eyes. Send me people that I can share this with. Send me people that I can love on. Send me people that are open to hearing this. And then help me be wise and discerning as to who's ready and who's not. It is a trick. I think it was Joanne, too, who said people have to be ready. And if they're not ready, the message isn't going to sink in. Or something along those lines, Joanne. It takes the Holy Spirit leading us to know who's ready for what. And so evangelism takes lots of prayer. So that's the how should we do it. Then the question of what should I say? When I'm sharing Jesus, what should I say with people? And the answer is it's just going to depend on every situation. There is no one size fits all. But we can share the story as what brought Molly to faith, hearing the story. In our liturgy before communion, we usually say the story. Christ has come. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. It's four parts of the story that are powerful. And that can be a guide, that can be a format to saying, what do you believe? Christ has come. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We can share a summary of the gospel. You know, you can take John 3:16, like it's held up at the football games. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Right? You can summarize the gospel and just say, God really loves you and wants you to love him back and have life in him. Or we can share an aspect of Jesus. I remember I was at a home, and I was there specifically to pray over the house and cast out any evil spirits that might be lingering around. There were some creepy things going on in the house, and it needed a little deliverance. So before we did it, I opened the Gospel of Mark, and I said, so basically what Mark says, that in Jesus' ministry, he was all about healing the sick and casting out demons. That's what Jesus did. He was here to drive sickness and death out of this world. And Jesus is transforming this world. And even though these people had been in church, they had not heard that message before. And so it was the gospel in a new and fresh way. And an aspect of the story of Jesus is, what does he do? He drove out sickness and death. So whether we're sharing the story, whether we're just sharing the big picture that God loves you, whether we're just saying this is one thing that Jesus came to do among many, there are so many simple ways to share Jesus. And you do not need a seminary degree. You do not need to be the most intelligent or well-spoken person in the world. All you have to do is have a love for people, a love for Jesus, and a willingness to say, Lord, I will, with fear and trembling, share good news with others. So may we follow Paul's example, and with fear and trembling, give the simple story, the simple hope and joy that we have. Let's pray.